This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد ربي شرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحلو لقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما ربي زدني علما ربي زدني علما ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Inshallah, today's talk is entitled Quranic Compass. Quranic Compass, or Bosala al-Quraniyya, is a research project that I'm looking into right now. And basically the research project consists of going back and analyzing Quran and finding out that how Quran was successful in instilling a particular type of a compass within the Sahaba. So when they were faced with situations in life, they knew what to do. Even sometimes when they didn't have, you know, direct guidance on a particular issue, they knew exactly how to react. Or they knew, okay, this is a particular issue that, you know, we need to revert back to the ulama or something. But their natural action was in line with what Islam had wanted. How did Quran instill this particular compass within the Sahaba? What were some of the means that enabled the Sahabas in general, within the 13 years they were in Mecca under persecution, they came out and they were ready to change the world? So the particular research aspect is the khitab of Mecca, the way Quran spoke to the Sahaba and the society at that time in Mecca. Now today, if anybody asks you, okay, what defines a Meccan or a Madani surah? The definition usually is given, oh, the surah that pertains to Aqidah, that surah that pertains to Akhirah, and you know, the verses are smaller, these are usually the surahs that are Meccan surahs. They're more in eloquence. But the surahs that deal into details, they go into the fiqh of a particular issue, ruling of how, what happens when talaq, and these type of issues that we live in the society, they say that usually there are Madani surahs, and they're also longer in length. Great. So we all know that. But the question still remains that how did that Meccan khitab, that, you know, when I say the word khitab, basically it means that the verses that were coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that khitab of Allah, kalamullah, how did it impact the Sahaba in the first 13 years, despite the hardships they lived in? None of us live in such similar hardships today. But yet they walked out and they were ready to change the world. So the research that I'm working on is basically analyzing the style of delivery of the message. Right? So what was the style that was used? And what we're going to find in the Meccan era is primarily the style that was used consisted of 3 to 5 things in general. 3, you will find them very regularly used, and the other 2, maybe not. Firstly, it's the quest for reasoning, thinking. So Allah would say, don't you, أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Don't you think and ponder on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have you not seen the camel? Have you not seen how we have created it? What is that? It's a call to the reasoning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the Sahaba of those times, the Muslims of those times, to think about things around them and reason, okay, why is this taking place? What is the hikmah behind it? And to ponder on these things. The second thing was questioning. And you find that, you know what, you find story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, time and again questioning. Right? Oh Allah, show me. Show me how you create the dead from the living from the dead. He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many things. Similarly, he's asking his own nation, how can you follow these people? How can you follow these things? They cannot hear, benefit, or do anything to you. So it was the fact that Quran and the khitab of it is constantly asking in-depth questions that instilled into the Sahaba this desire to question, not to question everything, but to ask the right questions. Today when you have a sheikh or a scholar or somebody coming to talk in a particular masjid from outside, you know, you have standard set of questions that get asked. And they're just being asked for the sake of being asking. But there are so many other questions in our society that we need to answer. Why do we have a rising divorce rate? These are questions we shy away from as community because they're hard to answer. But these were the very type of questions that were difficult to answer, but yet Quran asked the Sahabas these questions. Then you had the search for reasoning and positivism. So despite however bad the society was and the pressure that the kuffar of Quraysh were instilling onto the Muslims, the small minorities, Quran always revealed surahs that would make Prophet ﷺ happy, that would make Prophet ﷺ at ease. Positive message. When Rasulullah ﷺ, you know, he lost all hope, then stories of this particular Nabi. Then you have the story of this, you know, we don't even know the name of this person. Rajulun Mu'min, from the Musa alayhi salam's, from Fir'aun alayhi salam's tribe, right? He came running and he said, why do you want to kill a particular person? Just for the reason that he says, Rabbi Allah, right? We don't know who this person is, but the khitab is that look at this particular person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed another verse. It talked about them. It told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba that, you know what? The time came that even the Anbiya and those that followed him, they said, Mata Nasrullah. When is the victory? Then you find Rasulullah ﷺ reiterating the same messages of positivism. Sahabas came, Ya Rasulullah, it's extremely dire situation for us. It's becoming very hard for us to live. And Prophet ﷺ, he got upset. And he said, what's wrong with you people? For verily there were people that came before you. And a hole would be dug. And he would be placed in that hole. Half of his body in and the other half out. And then a saw would be brought and he would be split into two pieces. And yet this particular fi'l of the oppressors would not divert him from his Islam. What a positive message in extreme desperate and situations that the Sahaba were living in. Another, the continuation of this hadith is, or another person would be brought and they would bring a comb of iron and they would comb his flesh away from the bone. And yet this would not dispel him from his Islam. So you find that the positivism was very, very important in the Meccan era. Then they knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knew that these are harsh times, there are difficult times for the Sahaba. So they needed to have a purpose and goals. So they were tied to purpose and goals. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ You've been created to worship me. Right? Purpose has been defined. Goal, your Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bought the souls of the believers. So verses upon verses were revealed, defining the goals to the Sahaba. That your goal is Jannah, your purpose is my pleasure, your goal is Jannah, staying away from, preserving yourself from Jahannam, and fulfilling the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. Purpose is to unite the community, the unity. So the purpose was constantly reiterated. Now today if you look at the state in which da'wah is being conducted, very few da'wah initiatives tackle these five issues. We start off with this very, very untouchable thing that people can't even imagine, can't relate to. Very, very less effort is done to make that particular knowledge that was in the past relatable to people, to modern day societies. And if you find Rasulullah ﷺ, he did not give them examples of people, you know, that like, you know, he gave them examples that they could relate to. So if you look at Rasulullah ﷺ, the examples he gave in Makkah were different from the examples he gave in Medina. In Medina, the examples were of Christians and Jews because people were aware of Christians and Jews. It was a multi-faith society at that time. But Makkah, it was just atheist. Now, one of the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the message was being delivered, the kuffar were attacking, and the message had to be delivered through a different one of these channels that we talked about. Okay? So what was one of these channels? The people of Makkah, they used to revere this person called Luqman alayhi salam. Right? So Hikamul Luqman, or they call it Majallatul Luqman, the magazine of Luqman, that was the known terminology at that time. So Luqman alayhi salam and his majalla, or his magazine, was famous. So one of the persons, he came to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam just to hear from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam what he has to say. And he heard Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reciting the Quran. So he came to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "I have something, but I want to know what do you have?" Because he had heard him, but he didn't hear him clearly. So he came to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "What do you have?" He said, "I have something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The person said, "I have something better. I have Majallatul Luqman." Prophet ﷺ said, "Read it to me." And he read it. And Prophet ﷺ said, "This is excellent speech. This is excellent speech." Now let's pause over here for a second. What would one of us do if in a masjid a person came and he said, "I've got the Bible"? Most of us would not have the audacity to listen to it. Our hearts would shut. Prejudice would kick in. And it'll become very difficult for us to, even if it's something very good being said in the Bible or in the Torah, we will say, no, this cannot. I have the ultimate haqq. Prophet ﷺ did not say that. He did not say, no, by the way, what I have is better. No, what I have is haqq. He said, "This is excellent kalam. But what I have is something better than this." The word used was better, not haqq. When we say this, it's the same message, but it's given with a softer blow. And then Rasulullah ﷺ, he read this message. He read, I don't remember the verses he read to. And he recited the verses, and this particular, he was a sha'ir, I think his name is Balta. And he was a sha'ir, and he said, "This is wallahi better than mine." And it is said about him that he went back to Medina. He actually came from Medina just to meet Prophet ﷺ in the Meccan era. And it is said that he became a Muslim. Allahu alam. We don't know of his Islam. So today, since we were talking about Luqman, the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son was filled with all these tools that I talked about. And since we have a lot of youth and a lot of parents, it will make an excellent time to discuss something like that. So let me just start off. It's going to be Surah Luqman, verses 12 to 19.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Walaqad atayna Luqman al-hikmata anishkur lillah. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إن الشرك لظلم عظيم ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانهى عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور واقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير
So, in the research of Quranic Compass, the idea that I have is basically every single problem, major problem that we have in our society, which is, parent, for example, parent and the children. Quran gives us certain guidance. If we actually embed this particular guidance and understand it, it gives us a particular true north in that particular situation. So you can have a Quranic compass on how to deal with your parents. You can have a Quranic compass about marriage and your relationship with your wife. You can have a Quranic compass on how to deal with your parents. So for each particular things that we are going to be held responsible for, whether it is on an individual level, whether it is on a greater family level or a bigger society level, each one of these problems or solutions or things that we're doing right but making them better can be delivered through Quranic compass. So it's a series of lectures that I'm working on. This is just basically one, like from the few that I have, one of them that we're going to do today. And inshallah, hopefully, you know, if Allah gives us tawfiq, then we'll come back and do some more. So the verse starts off and he says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ Indeed, we gave Luqman alayhi salam al-hikmah, the wisdom. أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ So that he may thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ And whosoever thanks, فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ He thanks for himself. وَمَنْ كَفَرْ And whosoever, over here it is shukr, so kufr is not over here disbelief. Whosoever denies, okay, what? Da'i, the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denies to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ كَفَرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ Indeed, so indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ I'll come back to غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Now the first part we need to look at this verse, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, وَلَقَدْ أَعْطَيْنَا وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا So when we read the Qur'an, we realize that when the word أَعْطَيْنَا is given, it's basically, أَنَا أَعْطَيْتُ هَذَا الْجَوَّالِ فُلَان I gave this particular physical object to that person. When آتَيْنَا is talked about, it's giving of a particular thing that can never become a sole property of you. So آتَيْنَا الْعِلْمِ We give knowledge. You can have knowledge, you can have knowledge, you can have knowledge. It's ma'nawi, it is untouchable. Similarly, you can have wisdom, I can have wisdom. Me having wisdom is not going to deplete you from having wisdom. So when the word آتَيْنَا is given, it's referring to an untangible thing that was given. Now, hikmah, wisdom, is a lot like hidayah, it's a lot like guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Whosoever is given wisdom, he's given great wisdom. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives wisdom to certain people. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidance to certain people. Alhamdulillah, today all of you guys are here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided your hearts to be here. But there are a lot of other people that you know, for reason or whatever, they're not able to come here, because Allah did not guide their hearts to be here. So guidance is again in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, wisdom is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question arises, can a person attain guidance? Yes. If he takes all the means to attain the guidance, then he can be guided. Alhamdulillah, just before we started, a brother took shahada from Canada, just before the iqamah. So if you take the means, Allah can guide. Similarly, if we take the means, then Allah can give us wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is opposite of, who can tell me? Hikmah and opposite is? No. That's ilm and jahl. No. Wisdom and zulm, transgression. So what is the definition of transgression? وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ. To put something in a place where it does not belong. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is the greatest ظُلْم. Why? Because we've placed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a place where He does not belong. Hikmah is وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَحَلِّهِ. To place something where it belongs. Okay? What does that mean? A particular example. You're supposed to say a particular thing. Like if you're supposed to say a sentence. But if you say it at the wrong time, at the wrong moment, that sentence can cause a fight. But if you say it at the right time, at the right moment, that sentence can fix a problem. I.e., for example, when the husband and wife are fighting, if the husband tries to correct his wife at that particular time, you will fail. Trust me, 10 years, I can tell you. It's very difficult. But if you wait until everything cools down, and then you bring the subject up, you will have a better chance of succeeding. See, I didn't ever say you will succeed. You will have a better chance of succeeding. Okay? Similarly, with children, hikmah is telling your son what to do at the right moment, so he listens to you. Problem is, we tell our children things what not to do at the wrong moment, and the reaction comes out something what we don't want, and then we give the remote control of our emotion to that child, and it's like, make me calm down. Right? You get angry, angry, angry. Trust, do this now. Do this now. I'm telling you. Don't you listen to me? Basically, you're telling the person, look, I've given you my remote. Can you calm me down? Yes. So do what I'm telling you and I'll calm down. And that goes against hikmah. Okay? Anishkur lillah. The first thing that hikmah teaches us, the first thing that we have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First lesson that hikmah, wisdom, teaches you is to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the first lesson that we find, you know, Luqman alayhi salam. That anishkur lillah. Why did Luqman alayhi salam, he was given the hikmah? Anishkur lillah. So that he can be the most thankful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if you think about it, wisdom, as I talked about zulm and hikmah, what is it? If Allah gave you that food, isn't it that He deserves a thank? He deserves your humble thanks that He gave you that food, He gave you that job, He gave you those clothes, He gave you that jacket that you can wear in the cold to cover yourself up. That's all shukr. And this is the greatest level of wisdom. And oftentimes, parents and children alike, we don't realize what needs to be thanked. Sometimes the child requires to be thanked rather than scolded. And if you just thank the child, he'll behave properly. Similarly, sometimes for the children, for the youth, sometimes parents, they just need to hear something from you. Thank you, Daddy, for everything you do for me. Right? Simple words of thanks, but makes us realize that we are on the path of wisdom. People who do not understand the concept of thanking others and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking their parents, they're not even on the track of wisdom. That's the first step of wisdom. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ. Whosoever thanks, فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ.
When you thank your boss for that bonus, you're not thanking him because, you know, oh, you know, all you grateful, wise, mighty one, you know, you gave me that bonus today, and you know, I'm going to be your servant for... No, you want the next bonus next year. If he gives you a raise, you want the next raise next year. Sometimes you give a toy to the child, he comes to you, he wants the next toy. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ He thanks, whosoever thanks, you know, has this attitude of thankfulness, for indeed this thankfulness is going to benefit he himself. It's going to come back to him. Nobody wants to deal with an ungrateful person. Nobody wants to be a friend with an ungrateful person. True or false? True. Look at your friend, you take him everywhere, you feed him food and stuff like that, and then he's like, you know, you never do anything for me. Whereas you've done everything for him. So nobody wants to deal with ungrateful people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ كَفَرْ And so whosoever denies thankfulness, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted of all praise. غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Now I want you to look over here. In the siyaq, the way Quran is going, it's saying, أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ was the correct word. The pattern, if you look at it. It's all mudari', it's all present continuous. Then why did all of a sudden Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala switched it to past tense? So if you look at it, it says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ whosoever, present continuous, is constantly thanking. So what we find over here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the state of a believer, mudari' or present continuous Arabic means present and the future. I.e. in your present state and in your future plans, in the future, whatever you can think of, you want to have a state of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it came to people who are not in the state of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want the state of their ungratefulness to continue. Right? He did not want it to say yakfur, i.e. right now you're in kufr and in the future when you're going to be in ungratefulness. There was a hope on the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this past tense, kafar, i.e. when you say past tense, the person has already walked out of the state of ungratefulness and walking towards thankfulness. So just these little words, but if you look at it in English language, it's all lost. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ Whosoever is ungrateful at this particular moment does not mean in the future. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted of all praise. This word غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ, I did not understand it until I had a chance to go scuba diving. Okay? If you've ever been scuba diving in the Red Sea, and the type of living things that you see there, and the variety and the beauty and the orchestration of how all fish of same type swimming together in the same color, in the same pattern, in the same... And it's all, as like if you're looking at it, it seems like it's like a mosaic that's orchestrated. And when you see that, and you come out of that sea after 1-2 hours, and you realize that Allah really did not wanted me to say Alhamdulillah. Like he had created all of that, and he didn't need my praise. He didn't need me to go and see all of that and say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what an amazing creator you are. There's so many things that Allah has created in this dunya that when we go and we ponder and reason about these things, we'll find that subhanallah, Allah has created it and left it and He doesn't want any human being going there. How do humans work? When we know that something is going to be displayed, we make it the best. We give it final touches, working over all night long. When children have your assignments due, you have to make those charts. You have anything to do with your presentation at work. Whatever you're doing, you make sure that you're doing it at the best. But it's just like, nobody's looking at it. It's just you're taking notes for the sake of taking notes. Nobody's looking at it. Do we have that level of perfection? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful and He loves beauty. And wallahi, this verse, Ghaniyun Hamid, on that day struck me. That he really does not need me to scuba dive and go snorkeling and find out all the beautiful creation that Allah has created. And if you've not done that, I would highly recommend, you know, take your time out from your family schedules, set a schedule, come to Jeddah for Umrah, and after Umrah, you can, you know, drive to the beach. And it's just, you don't even need to go anywhere. Just like 1 meter water. And things you're going to see are going to amaze you. And you're going to come out full of thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we get into the real part.
إِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ When Luqman alayhi salam, he said to his son, وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ
And he was giving him advice. In the English translation, it's advice, instruction, admonition. All of them are wrong. If you look at the word يَعِظُ itself. So knowledge is dissipated. So you have something called ilm. Ilm is when somebody departs a particular type of knowledge to an individual. Wa'adh is when a person comes and reminds people of a particular knowledge that they already have. So when a khatib comes and tells you about tawheed, most of you are already on tawheed. But that is just a reminder for you of a knowledge that you already possess. Then the last level is wasiyah, which is, this is the final piece of information that I want you to remember from me. And that is usually given when a person is leaving the world. When a person is leaving the world. He says, you know, remember Yaqub alayhi salam, he called all of his sons. مَاذَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي Who are you going to worship after me? Right? Didn't he know that, you know, in his progeny was Yaqub, in Yaqub alayhi salam was Yusuf alayhi salam. He's one of the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam. He's a prophet. Binyamin and all the other, they were all Muslims. But he's concerned about what? Who are you going to worship? I.e., my only thing, if you want to remember, who are you going to worship? And they said, إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ أَبَائِكَ And the verse goes on. Over here he says, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ He was reminding him of something that he already knew. His son already knew that. So many times we need to do this. We need to remind our children as parents of things that they already know. You might say, why? My child knows La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. My child knows how to pray 5 times. He knows about salah and stuff. It's because we are insan. The word insan is from nasayansi. We forget. Just the name, our name itself is indicative of the fact that we are forgetful creatures. If we were not forgetful creatures, then people would not have created smartphones to keep us on track and all the tracking devices that exist today. Again, so reminders of something that we already know are good for people. Ya Bunayya. He did not say, he said, oh my dear son. He did not say, come here, come, sit. Again, when our conversations start, it's with those balding, you know, like cartoons sometimes, you see those eyes coming out. So that's how the child sees you as a parent. When you say, he's like, come, I need to talk to you for 2 minutes. And then you tell him, why are you not praying? That attitude is not going to get the response we want. Over here we see, Ya Bunayya, oh my dear son, La tushrik billah. Do not, in your present state and in your future state, do shirk or associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Indeed, shirk is the greatest injustice. Now, as Luqman alayhi salam's story is being told to us, Luqman alayhi salam has taken care of something very important pertaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot stand. Right? And while his story is being narrated, Allah took it on himself to remind the young people of the rights of the parents. So i.e., if you look at it this way, Luqman alayhi salam, he took care of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before his story is finished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving ikram. He is giving him this gesture of gratitude, this gesture of respect, that since you're taking care of something that is very important to me, I'm going to take care of something that is going to be very important to you. So now we do not have the kalam of Luqman. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ Again, wasiya, I told you, right? وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ So we talked about ilm, wa'adh, and wasiya. So this is the highest level. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants young, no matter who you are, if you've got parents, you need to, even if they're not alive, you need to hear this. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ Highest level of information is being given today. Wasiya. Okay, it's the will. And the word over here is not وَوَصَّيْنَا الْمُسْلِمِينَ It's not we are giving advice to the Muslims. Al-insana. What does that tell us? Every single person is included. Whether they're a Muslim, non-Muslim, whether they are believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single person is being addressed here. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ Both of his parents. What's the wasiyah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention here. What's the wasiyah? What do you want us to do with them? But Allah has mentioned it on four other sections. Ihsana, 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 ihsana. And once in the Quran, husna. So just let me explain this to you. So how this worked. So four times in Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about ihsana, 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 ihsana. Four verses in the Quran. Which basically means in your action. Then the higher degree came, which is husna, i.e. your being should become the best for your parents. It's no longer your actions. You and your whole existence should be working towards the benefit of your parents in the best possible manner. And when Allah had mentioned all of that, then there was no need to repeat ihsana over here in the sequence. So it's understood that somebody reading the Quran coming down, it's understood that he has been through it. Message has been delivered. Sometimes, if you go to the teacher repeats, right? A particular thing every single day, every single day, every single day. And sometimes after the end of semester, all the teachers, what did we do? And the kids will complete the rest. That is what's being requested of us. That when we reach at this particular point on the 21st juz, by this time we've actually come across all of that first. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ Obviously, the wasiyah is to treat them good. بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ Now the focus is on the mother. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ Oftentimes, every single one of you can remember the good things that your father did towards you. Right? He bought you toys, you were 5 years old. So your childhood memories are attaining to, your father doing this, father doing that, bringing gifts, he was going on travel, coming back. So a lot of this is father-related. But none of you remember all the hardships that your mother went through. None of you can physically remember it. Since we cannot remember it, and it gets most of the time neglected, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it here. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ First right of the mother. She's the one that carried you. Okay, we're not going to go into the scientific details. You can read on your own. She carried you in the belly. وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا Weakness upon weakness. I.e., the minute you came into the womb of your mother, you were not a source of... You were at that particular point, you became a source of weakness, upon disease, upon disease, upon medication, going to the doctor. You did not bring any joy at that particular moment. وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا Now over here, three things are mentioned. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا Some of the scholars have said, this was the reason why the mother was given three. You know the hadith where it's like, أُمُّكْ ثُمَّ أُمُّكْ ثُمَّ أُمُّكْ Your mother and your mother and your mother, ثُمَّ أَبَاكْ And then your father. So they took it from this hadith that this was the reason that tells us that first she carried you in the belly. Then came the stage of your delivery. Then after the delivery, the recovery. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not forget. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي أَعْمَيْنِ And then after the delivery, you still kept feeding yourself and your body through the milk and the food of your mother. And those are all the rights of a mother. Recently, a story came to me of a woman that was left on a beach. And she had a paper in her hand. And the son said to her, "Mother, please sit here. I'll be back." And she stayed there on the beach. She stayed there on the beach until somebody came across and found this old lady sitting on the beach and asked her, "What are you waiting for?" And she said, "My son left this number. Can you call him and ask him to come and pick me up? Because he said to me, stay here and I'll be back." And when that person, he opened that paper, it said, "Whosoever finds this woman, take her to the old age home, for verily we have no need of her." And the minute she heard that, she died on the beach, just by hearing what her son had said. That same woman that would have died in order to bring this person into this earth. That same woman that went through pains upon pains so that you could be in joy. That same woman that had sleepless, restless nights so that you could be strong. The same woman that slept on the ground sometimes so you can have her bed. That same woman is not treated the way she deserves today in our society. A person came to Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, "I have done so and so. Is there any forgiveness for him?" He asked him, "Is your mother alive?" He said, "No." He said, "Is your aunt, Khala, alive?" He said, "Yes. Go and do birr with her." Another person came, "I have killed so many people. Is there any forgiveness for me?" "Is your mother alive?" He said, "No." So time and again, people would come with big, big sins and he kept asking the same question. So the person next to him who's narrating this, he said to them, to Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, every person that came, you asked him the same thing. "Is your mother alive? Why?" And he said, "Wallahi, I do not know of a good deed greater in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than doing good or birr towards your mother, which would expiate all your sins." If you have your mothers alive today, if they are alive today, then before you leave from this message, this masjid and this lecture, take out your cell phones, SMS, call her. Tell her how much you love her. Tell her how much you thank her for everything she has done. Thank her for those days that you can't remember, but you know that she went through them. Tell her, "Thank you, my mother, for all the nights that you did not sleep. Thank you, for my mother, for staying, starving yourself so that I could have food. Thank you, my mother, for doing everything that was in your capacity to give me comfort." And wallahi, if you do this, the only thing that will come in your life is barakah. You will see it in your kids, you will see it in your money, you will see it in your life, you will see it in your food, and every single aspect of your life. And if we don't do that, then we should be ready for the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, it is not enough for you and me to say, "Alhamdulillah, I don't harm my parents. Alhamdulillah, no harm comes towards my parents from my side." That is not going to be accepted. That is not in birr. See, birr is consistent of two things. It is ihsan, doing good to them, and ita'ah, and obeying them. I remember once I made a particular decision to move to a particular country. I had arranged everything, including the real estate person who was going to buy the house. Tickets, I resigned from my company. And when my mother found out about it, she said, I don't want you to move to this country. Now imagine me going back to my boss and telling him I take back my resignation. I resigned. It was like final khalas decision. And at that moment, everybody, a lot of the scholars, they told me, they said, you know, you don't have to obey her in this. She doesn't have control over this element of your life. She can't, you know, she has boundaries. And I called one of my teachers, Sheikh Abdillah, and he said, firstly, why did not you take advice from her before you made the decision? And secondly, if you want barakah in your life, then bite this bullet, somehow go through this hard time, but I can guarantee you that whatever comes after is going to be better. And 2 years later, I can guarantee you that it was better. Things that happened in my life, you know, I don't want to tell you the details, but you'll be shocked about how things worked. So sometimes it might look in the short term very difficult to obey a parent, specifically the young people. They might tell you not to do a particular thing. It doesn't make sense to you. Or you might say as young kids, it's like, come on, you don't even know what I'm going through. You know, I have Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Tumblr, all these things. And my parents are not even on any of those. You don't know what my life is about. But remember, Allah knows. And when He commanded us to do this, He knew that there was always going to be a generational gap. The generation before and the next is always going to be advanced. You're not a unique generation. Yes, you have a lot of exposure, but the generation like my dad compared to my grandfather compared to his father, this was always there. This dichotomy of generations always existed. It's not something new. Allah knew this. Despite that, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. We have to do good to our parents. The only boundary that's being told as a person to the child, to us over here, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ إِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. If they come and tell you, do shirk, that's, sorry. لَا طَاعَةِ الْمَخْلُوقِ لِمَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. I'm not going to obey my parents in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, over here, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَصَاحِبْ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, فَلَا تُبِرَّهُمَا. The word is birr. Time and again, with relation to the parents, it's birr, 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 birr. Over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُبِرَّهُمَا. He didn't say that. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. And I told you, birr is consistent of two things, ihsan and ita'a. So Allah is saying, do not do the first. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Do ihsan to them. Be good to them and be the best that you can be in this world. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْكَ. Now if you get difficulties in this particular situation, when Allah has put you in this particular situation, then do what? Look at somebody that has already accomplished this. Somebody in the similar shoes as you, but he is doing what Allah wants him to do. And follow that person. Anaba yanibu basically means turn to the person who has turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wattabi' man anaba ilay. Turn to the one that has turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach you? That okay, if you cannot physically, you know, get out of this situation and you know it's too much for you, making a direct connection and turning towards me with these difficulties that are facing you, let somebody else be a shield in front of you. You stand behind him because he's already turned towards Allah, and you follow him until you become strong enough. You gain momentum, and khalas, you're not going to need a person, that person anymore. And in the end, Allah reminds you. And if you don't want to do this, remember, ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Eventually, you're going to come back to me. ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ. I will tell you مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. I'll tell you exactly what you used to do. I.e., the accountability is going to come. Then the next part, يَا بَنِي يَا بُنَيَّ. Now we're back into Luqman's. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِن تَقُوا. Oh my son, if there was something. Now over here, what's really interesting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention what is this something. And even Luqman alayhi salam in his story, he's not mentioning. إِنَّهَا إِن تَقُوا مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّ. If there is something like an atom, or sorry, a mustard seed, what is this something? Number one, as parents, we need to learn that sometimes being indirect is better than being very direct. Sometimes telling our son that you know that he is doing some bad things indirectly will get the message across better than you telling him to the face, you know, I know that you have a girlfriend. I read your SMSs. That's going to close every single door of repair for you. But if you come to the person, you say, you know, I understand that, you know, the situations that you go through today are different from the ones that we went through. I understand that a lot of your friends have other friends of opposite gender. And, you know, I just want to talk to you about that. It's much better. So Luqman alayhi salam, from his hikmah, from his wisdom, he did not say what is it that he's telling his son. Again, lots of stories have been mentioned in the tafsir books. We're not going to go into that. What was this? Simplest is, this was a sin or a ma'siyah. He committed a sin. He wanted the person, his son, to come and tell him about this. The concept of not telling him you did something wrong, but telling him, what is the concept of this sin? That even if it's something small as a mustard seed of a mustard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fi sakhratin, it's under a stone, أو في السماوات, أو if it's in the heavens, أو في الأرض, or anywhere in the earth, يأتي بها الله, Allah will bring it. He will tell you exactly where it is. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is minutely knowledgeable, detailed oriented. Latif. Now the word Latif, sometimes those, how many of you speak Urdu here? Okay, a lot. Okay, so the word Lutf, what does that mean? Khane ka Lutf, I enjoyed the food. Okay, Lutf is something that is tasted. Now your tongue is so acute to certain differences, right? So if the food is a little bit salty or a little bit extra sweet, your tongue will pick it up right away. That minor difference is lutf. When Allah is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ, not lutf, لَطِيفٌ, detailed, super detailed, micro detailed, and khabir, so knowledgeable about those minor details. What's the message being told to the son? That listen, you don't need to be worrying about me as a father. I know somebody, the father, he told his son, he said, and you know, it sounds better in Urdu, I'll say it and then I'll translate it. You know, the father said, you know, agar mujhe pata chala ke tumhari koi ladki hai to main khudkushi kar lunga. A father told me that. And I was like, no, 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 you really told your son that? Yes, I sent him messages on WhatsApp and SMS, confirmed that he got it. Which is, if I find out that you have a girl, I'll commit suicide. Okay, so what's the fear that is being embedded in the child? Whose fear? The death of the father. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what needs to be remembered. Reminding the people, the children, of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll finish this, I have three more lines left. Ya bunayya, O my son, aqim as-salah, establish prayer. Wa'mur bil ma'ruf, and call to urf, ma'ruf. Now we say good and righteousness, but the word over here is ma'ruf, which basically means there's variance in good. So what may be considered good in general in a particular society may not be considered good in another society. Give you an example. If you're even just in Saudi Arabia, for example, it's if you don't want to have coffee, like you're done, you don't want to have it, you just cover it, put your hand on top of it. But if you go to a different part of Saudi Arabia and you cover your hand and you put the cup, that means put more. Okay, these are cultural norms in societies. These are called urf. These are called cultural norms of that particular society. Pakistan has cultural norms. Doha has cultural norms. Every society has cultural norms. Wa'mur bil urf is calling on to thing that is culturally accepted and it's still in the boundaries of Islam. So we're not going to call for bid'ahs, we're not going to call for culturally accepted bid'ahs. We're talking about norms that are overly accepted in a particular society. It's the way of them living in that particular society and they don't fall into the realm of bid'ah. And they differ from country to country because we're different people. Okay? وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And tell people to stay away from evil, munkar. وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ And be patient with what comes to you. All these things, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ require patience. And if you embark on all these things, there are things that are going to come to you, afflictions. And he's telling, وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ Whatever comes to you, be patient. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ These are matters of great zeal. You're going to require a lot of azm, lot of determination to achieve these three things. Today, if you look at it, many of us are struggling with Fajr Salah as a community. And sometimes people say, no, we're not struggling. Well, you know, come to a Fajr Salah and you'll find out soon. Come to a Jummah and sub Fajr. That same day, come to the Fajr and come to Jummah, you'll find out if we're struggling or not. So these things require a lot of patience. وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ Do not turn your cheek away to people. Sa'ar basically is a disease that a camel gets. So its neck gets stuck in a particular position. And it cannot move. So when it has to move, it just looks like this. Right? That is sa'ar. So وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ is kind of like, don't be a gangster. Seeing those people, they're like, and their neck is there and they walk in a particular way. Whether it is their neck, sometimes they have their different attitudes. They take pictures of these people. And a lot of people, they get impressed with that, They do all these poses. And then sometimes, even if you talk to them, it's like, how are you doing? So, and it's like, that's what's being talked about. Your body language. Okay, imagine, this is old-time talk. I mean, this kind of stuff took place way in Luqman alayhi salam's time. It was not something new that, we figured it out now. وَلَا تُسَعِدْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا And don't walk a Biggie Smalls walk in this world. Do you know what Biggie Smalls is? Wrong person. Eminem? God, so this, okay? So don't walk this walk of arrogance. Okay, you find sometimes people, whether it is, sometimes people put nice thobes on and they're like, and their back and neck and you can tell from the gait of the person. Okay? That is being taught. Why? If you look at the people, shepherds, people who do, people who are shepherds of, people, shepherds and camel herders. Shepherds are always the most humble people. Camel herders are always arrogant people. Okay? Don't trust me? Go to the desert and find out. Okay? Why? Because shepherd is constantly, physiologically has to look down at the sheep. A camel herder has always got to look up. And today, science has shown that your physiology has a direct impact on your emotional state and your psychological behavior. So you cannot be sad if you put a pencil in your mouth and you looked up at the ceiling. And you said, try as hard as possible to think of something sad and you will not be able to think. So our physiology plays a state with that. And that is what's being talked about over here. The last ayah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like boastful people and arrogant people. Man, you know what? I got this watch, man. It's like $500. That's cheap compared to watches, actually. Because, I recently went to one of the malls here and saw, just today, actually, somebody dropped a receipt of a watch that they bought. So in the pharmacy, in the Boots pharmacy, the guy came to me and he's like, is this yours? I'm like, whoa, no, definitely not mine. But it was a watch for like 125,000 riyals. And it was like a watch that he bought. This is something happened today. Okay? So again, boastful arrogance. Why? Because I got Rolex, I got this. These things don't matter. Don't matter in this world, don't matter in the akhirah. Last, waqsud fi mashyik, be straight in your walk. Waghdud min sawtik, don't scream, don't be loud. Okay, don't talk in a manner that hurts other people. Oftentimes it's considered like, especially you see people who are bullies in schools. One of the things they have is there's loud voice. What do you think you're doing? Don't you know who you're dealing with? And they make this deep voice and loud to make people scared. And all these problems we're facing in our society, and Luqman alayhi salam is telling his son not to do that. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. The worst of the sounds are the sounds of a donkey. Now, think about it. Why a donkey? Okay? Think about this. I'm not going to give you an answer, but here's an exercise for you guys to think. Go home and think about it. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the worst of the voices are a voice of a donkey? Why? Okay, maybe you can go and, you know, type it on YouTube, voice of a donkey, and listen to it, put it in your headphones, and analyze it. Okay, but think about it, because Allah is saying this is the worst voice. Few things about it I can tell you. A donkey has no time to speak. So, you know, if you've ever been to Pakistan, India, and the donkey is going, you'll find sometimes the middle of the donkey will start making noise, in the middle of the road. For no reason. Other donkey is quiet and this one's talking. In the middle of the night, if you ever lived in Pakistan and India, in the middle of the night, a dog will bark with a purpose. But a donkey is going to just bray without a purpose. Many times people talk without a purpose. It's just talk. It's just noise. No purpose. That's just one of the connections that I made. And you have to do a lot on your own. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك